or I have to question is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello, everybody, and welcome yet again to Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. This is John Rabin. Hope you guys are doing all right, emotionally, physically, in your sobriety. Those of you who are sober who are listening, those of you who are not sober who are listening, thanks for joining me, you fucking tourists. It's fine. It's cool. It doesn't matter. Anyway, thanks for being here for the however long this is going to be. Let me get this thing started with my new tradition, which is to start with the solidarity prayer. All right. God, grant me the serenity to accept that you made me with an addictive personality while being surrounded by people who are normal. Wow, that sucks. In fact, why am I talking to you? You've done enough. I guess I'm on my own. Amen. I can't believe I also told my religious mother that I'm doing a podcast, so she might be listening, and she's going to hate that, but because she's going to think I'm making fun of God when I'm clearly making fun of AA. All right. It doesn't matter. It's just, I'm just kidding around. It's been a week. I'll get to that in a second. The last day, and I almost didn't talk about this because this thing that happened at work with one of my coworkers, my 18-year-old coworker, who likes the podcast and like listens now, which is great. But he and I had a discussion, not an argument, but a discussion about flat Earth, because apparently he's seen some YouTube videos, so they're pretty convincing. And of course, I'm coming from a position of, look, I'm 44. So for 42 years, the Earth has been round to me. It's only been in the past 2 years that there have been scholars like Tila Tequila and Kyrie Irving who are pushing the flat Earth thing. And, you know, and I brought up a few things, but the funny thing about, because he's helping me, you know, he's like he's like a runner. He's a busser and he's a runner for all the dishes that I wash. So you got a dishwasher and a busser, dishwasher runner discussing scientific shit. It doesn't make any, like, we don't know. It's been so long since I've been in the school, other than going, I don't know, what about time zones, bro? Like, it trying to discuss this and go, no, it's just round. It just is. The most convincing argument I had, I didn't go with any kind of science bullshit or anything. I just said, look, I'll just tell you, and I also prefaced it with, it doesn't matter either way. We all die, because I'm always cheerful at work. But it doesn't. You just live your life. It doesn't, you know, it's your perception. I said, but here's the deal. Here's why my gut, besides all the knowledge that I've, and things I've been told and read and seen, the reason why I know that the Earth is not flat, I told him, is because there's no money in it and hiding it. There's no angle. There's no, like, other conspiracies you can go, no, because it's like to keep people under their thumb so that people in power, like Illuminati shit, like everything has an angle. But like, why would they, why this? Why? It's not like people are going to be embarrassed that they were wrong. Those people that came up, because this is, you know, we're talking 600 years now. They're dead. Like, people who would be embarrassed, who like made a mistake and said that the Earth was round, but then they found out it was flat and went, shit, those people are dead. And somebody would have talked. Nobody keeps a secret for 600 years. Anyway, I love that that was the most convincing argument. Yeah, there's no money in it. So So this is how my week has been. I went to the emergency room because I cut off the tip of my finger. And not on purpose, obviously. That's just what happened. I was using a knife and... All right, you know what? I was using a knife to open up a packet of ingredients that I put in my smoothie. HEB sells these badass little like $1.50 bags of stuff, and I always use a knife because I don't have scissors in the kitchen. So I use a knife, and I wasn't paying attention, and I sliced the tip of my index finger on my right hand, and I'm left-handed, so all it's done is screwed up my typing ability, which keeps me off the internet. So I guess this is a good thing. Anyway, yeah, so I totally sliced my finger off, fingertip off. And it was impressive, by the way. It was like this like straight line cut. I'm not going to go into detail and gross you out, but it was gross. And it hurt. And I felt really dumb. And I grabbed paper towel and wrapped my finger and went, ah, and I like yelled a couple of times as you would. And then did I call the ambulance? Did I call somebody? No, you know what I did? I finished making the smoothie. I really did that. I was like, you know what? I really want this. I need the protein because I'm blue, you know, while I'm putting pressure on the finger, right? But I go ahead. I don't know why you know what? I used the time that I was making this the one-handed smoothie to figure out the hell am I going to do now? Like I didn't know what I was going to do because I looked at because I was like that's a lot of the tip, not a whole lot, but you know enough that I'm like do I take care of it because I didn't know. So I did that and then I decided, so I called my boss, who's a buddy of mine, is the first person I call because he's a cook and cooks cut the shit out of themselves all the time. So I'm like, you know, if anybody knows about slicing and dicing themselves, my buddy does. So I call him and he's can't believe I'm talking to him about it. And he's like, stitches. And I'm like, I don't know. It's a clean cut, kind of just the slice off. They're not going to be able to stitch shit. So he gave me some tips, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, like a whole, like really like barbaric in a kitchen, but I can't leave because I'm not making enough money. Like skills, like if you can't stop the bleeding, use super glue. Like really, like more just trenches, first aid, emergency stuff than anything even remotely medical. So he told me that, and I'm like, okay, thanks. And I'm like, So I'm still kind of, and I realize I don't have anything in the apartment other than a couple of Band-Aids, and that's not going to work. So I call my girlfriend to bring over stuff. But before I call her, and I'm not kidding, I fed the cat. I opened up a can of cat food before, like, I'm still pressure on the finger with the missing tip. I open up a can of cat food because I know that if I don't feed the cat now, she's going to meow at me the entire time I'm on the phone and I'm just sitting there. So I wanted to get this out of the way. I'm already on edge. So I fed my cat before I called for help. I don't know what that says about me, but it's absolutely true. Jesus. So I call my girlfriend and she grabs a bunch of stuff and she takes a lift over to my apartment. We live really close together, but she takes a lift over. And it turns out the lift driver used to be a nurse. So she's like, hey, come downstairs and my lift driver is going to take a look at your finger. And I'm like, okay. Right before she told me that and I go get examined by the lift driver, I call my mother for like wound caring tips and I convince her that I don't need to go to the hospital for this. And she's like, all right, blah, blah, blah. You know, and we just kind of talk. And then She contacts me back and says, "Hey, listen, I just talked to this nurse friend of mine, and she says that you need to go to the emergency room, and you're going to need to get a tetanus shot, or in 3 days, you're going to get lockjaw." Which, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, "God damn it! Okay, that, you know." But you know what my initial reaction was? Because she said, my nurse friend told me. My initial reaction, I kind of paused and went, "Do you have a doctor friend?" And to all my nurse friends, I'm sorry. It was more just out of humor. But also, do you have a doctor friend? So I ended up going to the emergency room. And this is a landmark event for me, because this is me going to the emergency room for something I did to myself when I was sober and complete awareness. Like, I've been to the ER many times, and this is the first time that I went strictly because I did something to myself that I was absolutely conscious for. And I think that's impressive. I think my favorite part, though, like, because I get to the emergency room and the information, I'm still applying pressure to my finger with the paper towels, arm kind of raised, elevated, and they tell me, you know, they get my information, and they tell me, "Okay, there's going to be a little bit of a wait," and I'm like, "Okay, I'll bleed in the waiting room," and I look around. And there's a lot of people. And I asked a nurse later, I'm like, "Is Monday your busiest day?" And they're like, "Yeah, oh yeah, Mondays are always the busiest." Which is weird that people save their emergencies for the beginning of the week. It's like, "Oh, it's the beginning of the week, time to go to the ER." And I looked around, and that's the thing, is that there was nobody. I was at least bleeding, but there was nobody there that seemed very emergent-ish, like emergency-ish. Emergent? Emergency. Whatever. They all looked like they were just... And of course they were, because this is where we are as a society now. If you don't have money for a primary care physician, that's what you do. You go to the ER and you're like, "Oh yeah, what's your emergency?" "Sniffles." And you sign in, and they're going to bill you and all this, and you're like, "Yes, yes." And you give them fake information, and then you go home. Or you give them real information and you're like, "Yay, I get more mail." And yeah, that's the other thing, is that that's what I did forever was, you know, that was why health insurance was always, when Obamacare came in, I was like, "I don't need health care. I've been not paying for years." You know, it's because I didn't care about my credit score or anything like that. So I credit rating or anything. So yeah, so nobody, but I get that, you know, it's basically poor people. This is what they're doing. They're like, "I'm not going to pay, but I'm feeling a little sick." And all on a Monday. So yeah, this was a Monday. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track. I get in, they do call me in pretty early so that they could wrap it up and actually have an RN take care of my finger, as opposed to me just holding, you know, the regular, you know, Bounty paper towel. It's not apparently sterile. And they wrapped it up, and it is, this bandage is comically large. It's really just, you know, when you hear just the, you know, you just cut the fingertip off, but it's, you know, just because I'm still bleeding. I don't know if I'm still bleeding now, but I'm not looking. But it's just huge. So I've got this. So now I've got this huge bandage on my finger, and I'm raising it up. I'm still having it elevated because nobody told me, "Hey, you don't need to do that anymore," but I'm still doing it. So I look like I'm asking a question, like, "One second, you know, with the, just holding the one finger up with my arm raised. They take me in the back and they put me, you know, they put me in the area, and nurses are walking by, and there I am with my finger, and I'm like, and they're just staring at me, and I'm like, I'm number one. That's right. I'm the one. So they gave me the they gave me a tetanus shot, and told me it was going to grow back, and I don't believe them. I love that I saved the tip and brought it with me in ice. I'm like, do you want? No, all right. Like, I didn't know what did I think. I thought they were going to do like surgically reattach a sliver of a fingertip back on. I don't know. I didn't know what I thought. Even worse is that I wasn't going to go. Like, they took care of me and gave me this stuff. And I love the idea that in my head, I'm like, I can do what they can do. I don't need to, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to clean the wound and bandage it up and, you know, and tell me this, and I can Google the rest. I'm like, really, John? Are you going to give yourself a tetanus shot? Yeah, I can make a tetanus. Look, I got Windex and hydrogen. What's in a tetanus shot? I can make my own. Like, I didn't know. In retrospect, it was not, you know, like, I don't want to go, but I went. And I gave them my real phone number and real address, which is also a first for me. I've never done that before. And I don't know why I did that. I've been in a zone. Like, I'm way too honest now that I can't just go. I can't. My poker face is gone since I've been sober. So I literally don't play poker. Like, I can't fake shit anymore. So I couldn't fake a phone number. Like, my old phone number that I used to give a phone number that I don't have anymore, but I couldn't think of it at the time, and I just went, it's fine, I don't answer my phone anyway. And then I gave him my real address. I'm like, I need more mail. My roommate gets more mail than me, and she hasn't been here as long as I have, so I did that. So anyway, fun times. It was good. Today, I went to the grocery store, got groceries, and I bought a pair of scissors. It's a little late on those scissors, but I feel that if you don't learn from something from it, then it, you know, it's useless. At least I benefited that now I have kitchen shears in there to open up my plastic packets of whatever before I microwave them. I don't cook. And or mix them up. I have scissors now, so I learned something. While I have this huge, maybe I'll take a picture with my cat and put that with this week's podcast. But the other thing was related to the sobriety thing. This whole thing is my girlfriend was concerned. She's like, are they going to, you know, are you concerned about them giving you any kind of pain medication? And I said, no, I'm not concerned whatsoever, because in my head, I thought there's no way they're going to give opiates to a guy that cut the tip of his finger off. Because if word got out that they were doing that and you got some good shit for that, there'd be a lot of addicts in this city missing the tips of their fingers. It's like, oh, is that all it takes? Hold on. Just, you know, there we go. That takes care of that. So yeah, that did not happen. They didn't prescribe shit, actually. I didn't even get Tylenol. They just said, Tylenol and Motrin. But the thing about it is that because she had mentioned that her concern, and I wasn't concerned, but even though I've been sober for almost 6 years now, my brain still went to the thought of, what if I asked for it? Could I get the script and take care of it and also hide it from everybody, my girlfriend, my roommate, and everybody else, and enjoy painkillers? Like, it was all in about 3 seconds that all that thought hit. And luckily I'm in a position now where I recognize the junkie thinking, like, immediately when it happens. I'm like, ah, yeah, it's good. It's a good one. And you shut that shit down. But it's interesting to me that that's still there, because my junkie thinking hasn't come out in a while. It comes out every once in a while, like, hey, you know, not necessarily about drugs, but about like, hey, people need to lock that door. You know, you can totally steal shit out of there. Like, you can really spot angles for theft and for scamming and stuff. Even, you know, you just kind of you see the angles sometimes. And but no, I recognized the junkie thinking right away and went, shut that shit down. Like, all right, it was nice hearing from you. Bye. We're going to go back to not doing that. So I don't know how long it's going to take to heal this back, but I'll keep you posted. Hope everybody enjoyed the index finger circumcision, because I sure didn't, but I sure did milk it for this episode. It's good, because I didn't know what I was going to talk about, and I had to talk about this because I really have not. I've been exhausted. I don't know if it's the blood loss or just the mini trauma of the hacking off of the fingertip. I don't know. It's just been tired. I did want to address something. So I'm going to pitch a scenario to you, and I want you to think about it. Let's say that you meet a friend for brunch. I am not trying to imply that you're a brunch person, some of you listening, but you wanted to go eat. It was Sunday, so the only places open, pretty much every place that's open on Sunday to eat, are all holding a brunch type special. Even though you're going at 1 and it's after lunch and they're still calling it brunch, it's stupid, but that's fine. So you're going to brunch. You meet your friend for brunch. And when you go, your friend is sitting there and they're reading a magazine. They brought a magazine and they're reading Forbes. And you find that odd because your friend is a barback and a bass player in a terrible band. You're like, this person doesn't invest shit. What are they doing? So they're reading Forbes magazine and they stop reading for a second and then they start talking to you about finances and some of the hot CEOs and companies on the rise, basically stuff that they just read, and they're talking to you about it and sort of trying to inform you because they know that you don't know, and they know that you don't know about investments because people with lives and souls don't know shit about investing. That's just my theory. If you've got a life and a soul, you probably don't invest much. So, but they know that you don't know. So they're telling you this and they're condescending to you like they're all wise, but they just read that shit. You know they just read that. In fact, while they're telling you, they're reading from the magazine like it's their information, but they're reading from the magazine and telling you, and it's a little insulting. And you kind of want to punch him in the face. Is that not unacceptable behavior? I think it is. And yet, that's what everybody does on Facebook and Twitter. That's what they do. Everyone acts like they know so much. And I'm guilty of this too. We all act like we want to be right and want to know so much. And yet, we don't. You know, we're basically anytime you see somebody post or tweet something and they seem really informed and they know what they're talking about, they just know how to Google. That's all that is. So just remember that. Keep that in mind so that whenever you see somebody on your Facebook newsfeed or on Twitter that makes you feel stupid, just realize they're not woke. They're just an asshole who brought a magazine to brunch. That's all they are. Thank you. That's called Asshole Brings Magazine to Brunch. That's what that piece is. But it's true. I think that need to quit acting like we know things when we don't. Also, I think that everyone needs to stop having an opinion on everything. We don't have to. You don't have to, you know. It's okay. It's okay to not know. Back in the day, like when I was growing up, my dad would bitch about the idiots in Washington, but he'd do it at the dinner table, and he'd do it to my mother. And my mother would go, "Yes, dear." I mean, she loves him, but also, whatever. Like, it's the, you know, she knows he's just blowing off steam, but people don't do that anymore. They do that out into the world. They jump on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. They're basically letting off those idiots in Washington, but they're doing it to us, and we're having to read it, and we don't even really like these people. We just haven't unfriended them because it's like, that's Gary. I don't hate Gary, but also I don't give a shit what Gary thinks about foreign relations. I don't know. I just think people need to just kind of chill out. Here's an example, and I'll leave. This will be my last little thing. I saw this. So the boys that were trapped in Thailand that were all rescued, when they weren't rescued, this is earlier. This is like on July. When was this? It was July 6th. Started on July 4th, actually, or July 3rd. Somebody said, the Twitter user Mabs Mag, so it's M-A-B-Z-M-A-G-Z, tweeted at Elon Musk and said, "Hi, sir, if possible, can you assist in any way to get the 12 Thailand boys and their coach out of the cave?" And Elon goes, "I suspect that the Thai government has this under control, but I'm happy to help if there is a way to do so." So the thread goes on, and he's talking about Boring Company has advanced ground penetrating radar and is pretty good at digging holes. Don't know if pump rate is limited by electric power or pumps are too small. If so, could drop ship fully charged power packs and pumps. Who is this? It's James Yin Bamrung, James World at James World Space. So somebody with their people, and he said SpaceX team reached out to us today to help connect to Thai government. Our team connected and provided some prep feedback to your team for pumps. And cave has narrowest 70 centimeters cross section and about 5 kilometers to 13. Anyway, okay, so they start going on into tech shit. And this is great. So this is, you know, it's kind of like, oh, it's this is the way the internet can help, as they connected. And so they're going back and forth. You know, Elon's like, maybe worth trying. Insert a 1 meter diameter nylon tube or shorter set of tubes. They're going back and sharing ideas. But my question here is this. Elon Musk started SpaceX. Like, this guy has created all this stuff and all this technology, and he doesn't know how to private message somebody on Twitter. Are you serious? They're doing all this public. What, you don't have, ask private message and go, "Hey, do you have a phone number I can call you?" Like, Elon, don't you have the money for a long distance call to Thailand? Like, can't you just, it's got to be quicker than typing all this shit out. I don't get that. And what I really, but I bring it up because there's people in this conversation, they're going back and forth, and they're all like tech people, and they all know their shit. They all own businesses and like all this stuff. And so there's all this back and forth. And then right in the middle, all these people, all these yahoos, just everybody, like Joe Sixpack. This guy's like Matt, whose his Twitter handle is Matty Ice 4412. Well, Matty Ice says, "Hey, rather than a tube, create a durable, flexible pod, almost like a body bag, for lack of a better description." Ugh, it's a terrible description there, Matty. And he goes, "That is watertight. Give the kid an air tank. Hook the bag to a tow line and pull each kid." So Stop all the technical jargon, Elon. Quit talking to the guy from Thailand. Matty Ice says you need to create a body bag. No, no, no. We're not saying they're dead yet. But he's but create a bag. And he goes, you know what I think they should do? You should create a bag. Yeah. I'm in construction. I'm working on the overpass in Milwaukee. I don't know. It's all these people. If you're bored, like, go find, you can find it. It's like July 6th is the meat of it. On July 6th, just read all the replies from all the whoever, like just randos, just talking. It's like, you know what I think? You ought to drain the water out. Like they just, oh my God. Anyway. I guess my point was, first of all, that was funny, but my point was just maybe we should just not so much, just in general, just don't so much on Facebook and Twitter. Maybe just, you don't have to hot take. I don't know. It's just irritating. All right, let's get out of here. By the way, I'm headlining at the Belvedere Room on July 20th, July 21st. It's Friday and Saturday, 9 o'clock on Friday, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Saturday. And I'll be recording shows for my first album. So hopefully I'll see you guys there. If not, I'll definitely be bugging you to buy one. I'll be bugging you to buy an album when it's ready, regardless. All right, you guys, have a good week. Stay sober, stay sane, if you want to be either one of those. I'll see you next week, guys. I'm John Reagan. I'm out.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. Cold beer, cold shoulder. Just one glass of whiskey. That's all it takes. Push me over the line. Set 'em up, I'll knock 'em down.